Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
W-A-W. What a week. What a week.
Welcome back to Wow, What a Week. Load shedding has reached stage six again. Right now, the amount of patience you have in the day is about the same amount of electricity you have in the day. So let's not waste any of your time, patience, or electricity. Welcome back to Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow! What a week.
What a week. This kid really kicks.
Our guest this day is someone who can use his mouth to excite many people of all genders at the same time, and that's without even touching them. He's a guy you can hear coming around the corner, but not in that dropped suspension hatchback in the hood Golf One kind of way. Please give a wild welcome to our What a Kid guest, the vocal gymnast, the cunning linguist, Morgan Beatbox.
Shh, the crowd goes wild.
Morgan.
Hello, big dog.
How you doing, brother, man?
All is good, man. All is good.
Bro, you have no idea how happy I am to have you in studio.
I'm just as happy, man. What, 12 years later?
Let me tell you why. Because the first time I stumbled upon your gift, you were in high school.
Yes.
And you needed permission from your mom to come to shows to beatbox.
Exactly, yes. I remember doing a show with you the night before my geography final exam.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Did you pass your geography?
I did. I actually got a distinction.
Shut up.
Yeah, I got a distinction.
I got a distinction in geography too, so I think it was written in the stars.
Yes.
And I suspect my energy actually became your energy.
Yes.
Hence the distinction.
100%. 100%.
Morgan Beatbox.
Yes, sir.
SA Beatbox Championship winner multiple times.
Yes.
I had no idea we had beatbox championships in this country.
Fresh, it actually happened here around the corner at Back to the City.
Are you for real?
Literally, I drove past the corner where I won the beatbox championships in 2018.
So this happens every year?
Yeah, look, it's been a bit inconsistent lately.
Okay.
But from 2017 to about 2020, it was quite consistent. I think Corona kind of messed things up.
Yes.
And a lot of people, especially beatboxers, stopped performing live shows and were actually doing more online stuff, you know, TikTok.
Yeah, because reels. You guys spit, unfortunately, and COVID loves spit.
COVID was not my friend, eh? Yeah, I was infecting people, left, right, and center.
When did you realize that, wait a minute, I can do quite a bit with my mouth?
When people started listening more to me than to the rapper.
Okay.
Because in school it was, I'm going to beatbox, you're going to rap.
Ah.
And people started telling the rapper to keep quiet.
Oh, yeah, because the rapper's getting in the way of the beat now.
Yeah, they're like, wait. Morgan's got this new snare.
Yes.
What is this? Because after school I'd go practice.
But when did you realize that you could beatbox in the first place?
It was the day that the beatboxer in the rap crew was absent.
Okay.
And they said, we need someone to hold the beat. And I went, I'll do it.
And okay, so let's go back to your first, like, rudimentary beatbox. What did it sound like?
It was like, and even that's a bit technical because I wasn't doing a double snare.
Yes.
It was pretty much how you would be able to beatbox fresh with all.
Okay, so basically it was bad.
It was very standard. Very standard.
But now you're at a stage where you can do 100 sounds in under 10 seconds.
Yes. This is,
shut up, man.
Yeah, this is fairly recent. This is like a week ago where I discovered this.
You can do 100 sounds.
In 8 seconds.
In 8 seconds.
Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
No, you're going to do that for us right at the end.
Okay.
Right at the end.
Okay.
But I've also realized that recently you're now doing comedy.
Yes.
In fact, you have a comedy show at Tiger's Milk tonight.
Yes. Yeah. Tiger's Milk Irini Village. Yeah, the comedy comes about, you know, the more you're on stage, the more comfortable you are.
Oh, yes. And you're on stage, you have a mic anyway.
Yeah, and then it starts with one little thing that you say that people laugh and you go, cool, I'm going to say that again. And then there's two things you said that people laughed at. And now all of a sudden, you've got these 10 things that you're saying with your beatboxing that people are laughing at. Now you're getting booked by comedians at comedy clubs and booked for comedy sets and on lineups with comedians. And you just now classified. I don't actually call myself a comedian.
Fresh. Yes, you're a funny beatboxer.
I'm a funny beatboxer, yeah.
And you can give yourself a drum roll.
And I can also do a cricket sound if no one laughs at my joke.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's hear your cricket sound.
Your something like that.
Let's stick to beatboxing.
Just stick to the beat.
What I love about your beatboxing, though, is the fact that you pretty much go pretty much through all the genres.
Yeah.
With your beatboxing.
Yeah.
So we're going to actually do a challenge for you.
Okay.
We're going to do a genre challenge.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going to rattle off genres, and hopefully you're going to beatbox within that genre.
Oh, yeah. Give it to me.
Okay. We're going to start with house.
House.
Yeah. Hip hop.
Hip hop.
Jazz. Was that an upright bass there?
Yes.
Ragga.
Reggae. Yeah, man. We're gonna break it down with a selection.
Dubstep.
Dubstep.
Drum and bass.
Drum and bass, my favorite. Check my flow. Check my flow. Check my flow.
And finally, trap.
Trap.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Does your girlfriend ever come to you and say, Morgan, please come beatbox down here?
I've received many questions such as that. And my reply always is, that show I'm going to call Morgasm.
Ah, yes. In fact, you must actually do like a Morgasm on the road show.
Yeah, I don't know how that would go down with the kids. I perform in a lot of schools.
Oh, yes.
The teachers would be like,
And kids love you.
Yeah, the kids are very inspired by beatboxing. I think beatboxing is a very good outlet.
Oh, yes.
For kids, especially with ADHD.
Yes, yes, yes.
I believe I have a little bit of ADHD. And it's
you believe you have what?
A little bit of ADHD.
Oh, look, a butterfly.
I don't even know what I was saying. It helps a lot. Beatboxing is a good outlet.
I think we both have the same problem, bro.
Yeah, man.
That day I'm driving around and I'm like, I was supposed to be going to the shop, but now I'm following this cow that's just walking off somewhere.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, so the comedy you do, what kind of stuff do you like delve into?
So I don't write comedy.
Yeah.
So I don't write jokes. And also I'm not really much of a storyteller. My comedy would be more stuff like, imagine me trying to tell my girlfriend's dad what it is I do for a living. You know, hi, sir, I make money using my mouth. in dark nightclubs. You know, jokes like that, I joke about myself.
Yes, sir.
I joke about beatboxing. And I believe that if you can laugh at yourself with the crowd, then you've got the crowd on your side. So my comedy is very much on-the-spot kind of comedy. I don't really tell stories.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes.
Stuff like that.
And then, so you don't do any current affairs stuff?
I don't really like to talk about, like, especially politics and all of that. I like to keep it very light. I do talk about load shedding because, as you can imagine, as a beatboxer, when there's load shedding, it doesn't affect me.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it actually, that's when I beatbox the most. I did the most practicing during Corona when there was load shedding. Nothing to do, so sit in the dark and beatbox.
Does your mom ever say, Morgan, enough?
No, hey. And on that note, she sends her regards. She sends her
love. No, please send her my love, man. And thank her for allowing you to come to nightclubs to do gigs when you should have been studying for your exams.
100%, man. She told me to say that. She misses your laugh. So there it is, Mom. Did you hear that laugh?
Yes, Mom. That was especially for you.
Yes.
Is there money in beatboxing? There's a kid out there who is maybe possibly better than you. Can they turn this into a living?
Can I be straightforward?
Yes.
There's no money in beatboxing.
Okay.
You have to, I had to become an entertainer. I had to become a brand. I had to become, people weren't coming to see me for beatboxing. They were coming to see me for Morgan Beatbox.
Oh, yes.
This guy's funny. He's good looking.
The show.
He makes us dance. He's got good energy. Yes. He's this, he's that. Beatboxing in itself, if I got the world's best beatboxer and I got him to beatbox in front of you right now fresh, it'd probably be like a minute and you'd be like, cool. I get it.
Okay.
That's cool, whatever. Where I can do a 30 to 40 minute show, it's entertaining, it's engaging.
It's showtime.
It gets the crowd involved.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes.
And I play with people's imaginations. I go, can you see the drum kit? It's right here, the kick drum, the snare.
So typically, how would a show go? Like, give us first 3 minutes of a Morgan beatbox show.
So I'd get on the stage, I'd normally crack a joke or two, and then I would... I don't like to be introduced as a beatboxer, so people would go, please welcome Morgan.
Okay.
And I get on stage and I go, guys, all the sounds you guys are about to hear is all coming straight out of one human's mouth. The crowd's then like,
yes, yes.
What just happened? There's a robot on stage. And that normally that gets everyone's attention.
Sure.
And then I go, you guys all love music, right? Do you like bands? Well, I've got a drum kit right here. Do the drum kit. I got my bass guitar. Do the bass guitar. No.
Do that. Take us through that. Please take us through that.
All right, so... As you can see here, there's a drum kit. At the very bottom, we got a kick drum. It works like this. You grab the stick, hit the snare. Next to that, a rim shot. Now, ladies, keep your minds out the gutter. Hi-hat. Open. Crash. Toms. Spit snare. Put it all together. Sounds like this. Point, the crowd's like,
okay, you have our attention.
What is going on? What is going to happen next? I introduce my bass guitar, which is just, it sounds like. Then I ask the crowd, would you believe me if I told you I have two voice boxes?
Yeah.
Now we do have two voice boxes, Fresh. The one is called your false vocal cords.
Okay.
Which are two pieces of flesh which you're not supposed to be able to move, but I can move them. Jeez. I don't know why. So a lot of people go, yeah, I think you got two voice boxes. Yeah, I don't. Then I go, cool. Proof is in the pudding.
Okay.
We're going to take the drums and the bass and do it at the same time.
Okay.
Here we go.
Jesus.
And that's how my show would typically start. Now people know what beatboxing is. Now I can get into the juicy stuff, storytelling,
yes,
all of that.
So how did you realize that you could add your second voice box? And is it painful? Because it sounds like it could be painful.
Okay, so it's 100% not painful. Nothing I do is painful.
Okay.
How did I realize? I just think that it's the same way that I came up with this... is that when I'm beatboxing, if I'm doing the most sounds that I can do, that I can do, I try to see what is not working, what is not doing a job.
So you can add it.
So I can add it in. So I was like, these cheeks are not doing anything. So why not, instead of, we go, very loose kind of example, but
I'm trying to incorporate
everything, the tongue, the lips, the voice box, everything.
You're yet to find a way of adding the teeth, right?
There's beatboxes that, do, but I don't know, I don't do anything that hurts, and that kind of is sore. So I wouldn't, but they literally do the teeth as a hi-hat, like, I don't know, I'm not going to try it.
Yeah, it feels painful.
Yeah.
So earlier on, you spoke about how you can do 100 sounds in 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, how did you even get to 100 sounds?
So there was a combo that I actually learned from my boy Remix. Okay. He's a beatboxer, South African beatboxer, really, really good and talented. Okay, and then, can you do that? Yeah, exactly that. And then, I don't know if you'll be able to do this, but it's a beatbox on the side. Now you do that to get it. Okay. So that's the first, that's three sounds.
Okay.
Okay, you agree that that's three.
That's three sounds.
Then you got, so instead of that, now you're going, that's actually it. Now we do six together.
Okay. Okay.
It sounded like a minor car accident.
With these plastic cars lately, they all sound like that in an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, so we've got six sounds.
Okay.
100 divided by six is 16.7. We'll round it up to 17. So I have to do that 17 times to get to 100 sounds.
Okay.
Do you want me to do it?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. We don't have a timer, but it is roughly 8 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, and...
Jesus Christ.
That was about 110 sounds. Jesus. There. Yeah.
So what can you do with that talent? Like, is there any way you can monetize it?
I could put it with a beat.
Yeah.
I use it a lot. So you could run some patterns with it.
Absolutely.
But it's more for the amazingness of it, you know, 100 sounds in 8 seconds.
Yes, sir.
You know, I work on that amazement factor and not really always being musical, but being like, you know, I open the door. You know, it's not always about music. It's also about the sound effects.
It's show business.
It's showmanship.
Absolutely. So I want to give you one final challenge, but before we do that, where can people book you? I need to book Morgan Beatbox for a show. Where do we find you?
Yeah, I mean, just drop me a mail. It's simple. It's morganbeatbox@icloud.com.
Okay.
If you want to follow my work, it's all over Instagram. It's also just Morgan Beatbox. Twitter is Morgan. Everywhere is Morgan Beatbox. YouTube. I'm the most active on Instagram. I put a lot of my ideas on my stories.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, if you want to book me, just drop me a mail. Yeah, and I can do all kinds of events.
So our next guest is walking down the stairs. Like, how would you intro her with the beatbox? Let's go. As she's walking down, let's go.
Okay. Find my own self, paced with the monster. Find my own self, paced with the monster. Faced with DJ Fresh and I look like a beat that would suit the way you were walking.
Thank you.
Yeah, she was walking down here like she's here to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, Sam, so my heels can't be making a noise while I'm walking down.
How are you doing, Samu?
Hello, Tato.
We will have you on as soon as Morgan is done.
But wow. Yes.
We'll clean the mic for you, don't worry.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, we've got sanitizer.
I was checking to see if he's got any instruments hidden in there, because...
Or batteries.
Not human.
No, he's actually got batteries. He's got a battery pack in the back of his neck.
Makes sense.
Welcome, Samu. We'll see you in a sec.
Guys are giving away my secrets.
Dude, final challenge.
Yes, sir.
Do a theme for Wow What a Week.
Okay. Okay.
Here's the new theme for Wow What a Week, courtesy of Morgan Beatbox.
All right, cool. Could you turn the volume of my headphones a little bit down for us?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Bill, what a week. Bill, what a week. Bill, 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 what a week. What a week. What a week. What a week. What a week.
Fucking dude.
It was like I was saying what a week, but underwater. What a week.
Bro, I've known you since you're 15.
Yeah.
But every year you step your game up. Every year.
Have to. Have to. If you're not growing, you're dying.
So what's next then? Because there's only so much you can do with your mouth.
I don't know, Fresh. I'm just pushing what I know I'm meant to do.
Yes.
As hard as I can and just taking every opportunity as it comes. I don't know what my next step is, but all I know is that people are still enjoying what I do, and I'm still enjoying what I do, so nothing wrong.
And tonight, there's a show. Where do we catch you tonight?
Tonight's Tiger's Milk, Hirini Village. Lot of shows this weekend. Not many public shows, though, because you know how we do the corporates and these private events and stuff. Next week, Thursday, is Tiger's Milk Northcliff, the 7th of December. And then just check out the socials, man. There's so many shows coming up that I can't even.
So you're booked and busy.
Very busy, man.
In fact, we were at the Cannabis Expo last week.
Yes, man.
And it was a very nice show.
I remember that they gave you something to inhale, and you said, will I be able to get home?
And I need to shout out the Scissor Sisters out in, I think they're Neisner.
Okay.
Because they've come up with a Big Dog blend of weed.
No ways.
Yes, it's a Big Dog blend of weed. I'm not a smoker.
Yeah.
But they said, please try it.
Okay.
We've made this blend especially for you. So I'm waiting for a time where I don't need to go anywhere. Then I can sit at home and have my Big Dog blend of weed, courtesy of the Scissor Sisters. So shout out to you ladies.
Send sample my way. Send sample, please.
Listen, might actually just do a whole range, like the Big Dog blend of weed.
I'll probably be your first customer.
Let's do it, bro.
How do you think I started beatboxing first?
It's like, I've had a smoke and I feel like eating, but there's no food. What else can I do with this mouth?
Yeah. It was like, ladies and gentlemen, what the? I felt higher than a giraffe's vagina.
Oh, fuck.
Nah, it was fun, bro.
Do you think giraffes ever look at, like, the lady giraffes, like, yo, she's so tall. Like, I have to rock her standing. There's nothing else I can do.
Have you sobered up on Saturday?
Sorry, I'm having it's. What's it called when it comes back?
It's like
a retrip.
Yeah, I'm
on a retrip right now.
It came back.
And I'm imagining giraffes shagging, and I'm like, you guys are gonna fall. You know?
Wow. I don't know we'd be talking about giraffes on this interview.
Fuck, man. Anyway, listen, Morgan, I love your work, my dude. Like I said, I've been a fan since you were 15. I've watched you come up since you were 15. And I think I need to shout out especially your mom.
Yeah.
Because she's supported you from day one.
Yes.
Your average parent will not support a kid who says, Mom, I can beatbox. Mom, I need to go to a club and do a gig. Mm-hmm. Mom, I can make this work. And yeah. Your mom believed in you from day one.
Yeah. The only thing that she said was, son, do you know that beatbox in Afrikaans is dromdoos? And I said, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you'll drum the doos anytime you need to.
Exactly. But yeah, she's been 100% supportful throughout. I'm lucky to have her. I don't know if I'd be where I was.
Yes, sir.
If I had a different kind of parent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You'd probably be an engineer somewhere in Boksburg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who would let their son go perform with you the night before a final exam? Who would take off work, pick up their son, take the son to said studios?
To perform with a big black dude in the middle of the night.
Hey.
The day before that geography exam.
That's my mom.
Or your mom trusted me.
Very much so.
There's also that.
It's all in the laugh.
Absolutely.
You have a trustworthy laugh.
If I could turn this laugh into like a beatbox thing, you're going to have to guide me on that one.
You could go like... something like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Morgan Beatbox has left the building. I love you, my dude.
Love you too, Fresh. Thank you.
This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Our celebrity guest is in the building in all of her glory. We'd like to describe our guest in a few ways, since she's played a range of roles in different productions. But we won't go too far, because just like some of the characters she's played, she might not be too shy to tell us where to get off. And in different languages too. Like, take a pick. Please give a warm welcome to the talented and multilingual Samkelo, Samu, Samurai.
Yes.
Ndlovu.
Hey.
Hey, Ma. How are you doing?
Tato, I'm good. How are you?
I am happy to have you on WOW. What a week.
I'm excited to be here.
Being a fan of you as a human being before as a fan of yours as an actor.
Yes.
Because I think I've experienced you more as a human being than as an actor.
Yes, yes.
So I've gotten to appreciate you at that level. We're even in the same gym group at some stage.
Yes, we were.
We've ended up, I think, in a strip club at some stage also.
It was your birthday. We went because of you.
I think it was my birthday and Lulu Cafe's birthday.
But he didn't come.
He did. Trust me, he did. So like I said, I've been a fan of the person. So yes. I'm glad the actress is here.
Thank you. It's so lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
What is it about this week of yours that you've thought, wow, what a week?
So this week's been quite crazy. Specifically because I have two productions coming out.
So you're busy.
I am busy. Yeah. This is my first year back after my 2-year hiatus from anything creative, really.
Yes, yes.
So
you just created a human being, but in your
I did, I did, and I needed to nurture that and like give myself a moment. Mm. So the one show is called Reka. It's on Mnet. It's our Emmy-nominated, crime thriller.
So it's Reka 2, this one.
Reka 2, correct.
Yes, okay.
Reka season 2. So the first season was nominated. And they've already began their rollout, their marketing rollout and their social media stuff.
Mm.
So everything's fine. I'm on my page. I'm posting. News is already out. Posters are out. Trailers are out. And the next thing, somebody leaks on Twitter that I've joined
Adulting. The
cast of another show. And now the people at Showmax are like, fuck.
Yes.
And they had to kind of bring forward what they had planned for probably 2 weeks ahead.
Shame, man.
So now they are like running around like headless chickens. So am I. And they need to post it. They need to announce me because they can't like just let it roam free. And
exactly.
I think
they can't waste the opportunity.
100%.
Yes.
So that's what my week's been. My week's been full of interviews, photo shoots. Mm. My page has so much traffic right now. And yeah, that's basically what's been happening this week for me.
You took a 2-year hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, because it was intentional.
Yes,
right?
It was very much intentional. Mm. And I realize that some people, when I speak about it, they look at me strange and they think I'm like hiding something, like maybe I didn't have a job or like whatever.
Or you were twassing.
Or I was twassing.
Or you were in rehab.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But no, like there's a lot of actors and actresses who take breaks.
Mm.
And we might not know because they might not be as, you know, saturated as I am. Like, I've been like going at it for 14 years nonstop from one production to the next, sometimes two productions at the same time. So there are actors who do that. They take breaks and they become casting directors. They become VT producers. They become all sorts of things. So I did that specifically because I needed a moment. Mm. I needed a moment to be able to separate the actress from the person. I think creatives and artists do deserve that time, absolutely, that moment to go, what am I without being an actress?
Now, as a mother, though,
yes,
what are you learning about yourself from being a mother?
I'm seeing myself through my kids' eyes, and it's so gentle. Mm. It's so tender. She loves me so unconditionally. She loves me hungover. She loves me tired. She loves me stressed. She loves me happy. Mm. What I'm learning about myself is that I'm a whole person, and that I'm a human, and that I can make mistakes. And sometimes I might feel like I'm winging it. But I wing it with faith.
And with good intentions.
With good intentions.
You know, sometimes people think winging it is you saying I'm an irresponsible parent.
Yeah.
You're just saying, listen, there's
you're saying, I don't know how to do this.
And there are a million books, but none of them are the Bible.
100%, because this kid hasn't been written about in any book. So
exactly.
I've got this kid. So how do I raise this specific kid?
Sure.
Yeah.
But you were raised in Alex.
Yes.
Alexandra. Tell us about growing up in Alex.
So I was born and raised in Alex. Mm-hmm. I think I left when I was around 6 to go stay in the burbs with my mom. Mm. And my mom had just gotten married to my stepdad at the time.
Yes.
I inherited new sisters, which was pretty cool. Mm. But Alex has always been a part of me. I was there every weekend. I was there every school holidays. My church was there. My friends were there. Sure, I had friends at school. Sure, I had friends in the burbs.
Yeah.
But the cultural relevance just... kind of wasn't there. Like, I had a Chinese neighbor who was also my friend, and we used to walk our dogs together. And I had, you know what I'm saying? But Alex really, really did something great for me as an artist, as a creative, as an actress. Because I know all these languages now, and I know all these types of people, I know all types of archetypes. I can draw from so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for instance, had you not been going to Alex every weekend or going to church in Alex every weekend, your worldview would have been just...
Yes. It would have been...
Sanson.
Sanson. It would have been the private schools, the private Jewish schools I went to. It would have been going to Reese Weinberg's house for the weekend. Mm. It would have been going to Sarah Johnson's bar mitzvah on Saturday. Mm. Mm-hmm. It would have been that. But I'm happy that I have both sides.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, mom is dating, getting married.
Yes.
What conversation does she have with 6-year-old you?
Nothing. I don't remember a conversation. I don't remember a conversation. I really don't.
You just remember a big house out of nowhere.
I remember fitting some dress.
Yeah.
And I remember that there was just commotion, and then there was a cow being slaughtered. I won't say I was left out. Mm. I just think that our parents come from a different... era where they don't really feel like they have to discuss this stuff with their kids.
It's not a democracy.
Yeah, it's not a democracy. I'm not asking for your permission, Samu. I'm getting married.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I think maybe now, if she might have grown up in this era, she would have probably sat me down and said, hey, you know, uncle, whoever, mommy's getting married to him, and this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, blending a family. Mm. Obviously, you're a child at the time. Mm. But what are some of your takeaways from that blend? And is there anything you do differently?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I already had two sisters, and I was the last born already. And then when I inherited two more sisters, I was still the last born.
Sure.
I can't say. This is something I'd have to really, you know, think about. All I can say is that there was a lot of estrogen.
Oh, in the house. Your poor dad.
There was a lot of estrogen in the house. And I guess what I learned was how to navigate around estrogen, because a woman is not the same person every week of the month. Mm. This week I have this hormonal change. Next week I'm ovulating. The next week I'm pre-menstrual. The next week I'm post-menstrual. Mm. So I'm not the same person. So I think it just taught me how to be graceful about people and... just calm the fuck down.
Now, in a setup like that, who speaks to you about the birds and the bees, about boys, about how to conduct yourself when you're out there?
Funny enough, it was my gran.
Yeah.
Funny enough, it was my gran.
Gran is always ready. Eh?
Who was still in Alex. Yeah, I remember her sweeping my boobs. I don't know if you know about that ritual.
Yes.
Where when a young girl's boobs start to grow, they get nervous. Like, oh shit, she's going to get sexualized soon and being made a sexual object by men and being catcalled at. So they sweep it with a grass broom. They sweep your boobs with a grass broom and hope that they'll stop growing or go back. And we were at, she was like, we have to stand behind the door. And and then
so what are you thinking as Gran is sweeping your boobies?
I'm just like, this is sore. I'm like, this is painful. Do we have to? Like, boobs are okay. Like, they're fine.
Exactly.
And the thing is, I got them from my aunt, who was a beauty queen, my dad's youngest sister.
Okay.
And she's, and you know, that's where I got them from. So from my mother's side, nobody really had them. So it was probably, it was also quite new for my gran. She was just like, wait.
You're a child.
Let me see that. What is that? What is that? Open your shirt again.
Yeah.
And she put me behind the door and she did it. And soon after that, when you know, I became a woman, puberty, a young woman, and I was menstruating.
Sure.
She sat me down. Mm. She was the one who, it wasn't really about the birds and the bees. It was really more of a warning.
Sure.
She was just like, you're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And now that this is happening, it means your body has the ability to fall pregnant.
You've got that to mother.
You've got that to mother.
Yeah.
And she explained to me how she wouldn't want that for me and how she actually just wants the best for me. And she wants me to be able to have control of my life. Mm. And a baby won't allow me to do that if I'm doing it at a young age.
Sure.
So she scared the fuck out of me. She really did, because I didn't.
So how long did you wait?
I waited till I was 19. I was in first year. But I loved boys.
Mm.
I did.
So what is it that said, but hold?
So firstly, a cousin of mine who kept her virginity and did this thing called umemulo.
Okay.
Came back to me with a new cell phone and money. And I was like, where did you get all this stuff? She's like, you don't know you get gifts for being a virgin?
So there was an incentive.
I was like, shit, I'm doing this. And I think I must have been 17.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, you get money, you get gifts, and all these moms introduce you to their sons. And it's a big deal. The moment you walk out of there with a white flag, it's a big deal. So, yeah. She was showing me her phone, and I was like, damn, I was going to wait till next year, but I think I might, because it's weird. My birthday falls on the 31st of December.
Oh, yes.
So I kind of do have to wait.
Yeah.
And I waited, and it was also, I think it was also mixed with like some religious choices. Back when I was still religious, I was a heavy, heavy church goer. I was everything in the church. I could spit Bible bars. I was a Sunday school teacher. It's very funny. Sometimes my friends are like, you know, you've told us this and we still don't believe you. And the one day in Melville at Sixes, a young man came to me, very smartly dressed, and he came holding his lady's hand and he said, hi, Samkelo. And I thought it was a fan. So I slapped on a smile and I said, hi, how are you? I'm good. He said, you were my Sunday school teacher.
Jeez.
And my friends were like, no fucking ways.
Yeah.
So I think one of the reasons was the religious thing. Another thing was also because I'm scared. My grand scared me.
Sure.
And I was also friends with guys.
Mm.
A lot of my friends were guys at school. I had one female best friend and everybody else was guys.
Mm.
And I used to hear them say stuff about girls. They used to like make each other smile each other's fingers.
You just took me back to boarding school.
y'all are something else. I'm telling you, y'all are something else. So when I would see them do that stuff, I'd be like, oh, so this is how guys are going to speak about me.
Exactly.
Not a chance.
Exactly.
If I'm ever going to do it, it's not going to be with any of you guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be with some dude from like, I don't know where. But you guys will never know. And it's cool because they protected me a lot.
True.
And it was a safe space to be in.
Mm,
so, Yeah.
What conversations are you going to have with your daughter about boys, about the birds and the bees, about life? I mean, we're living, I'd like to believe, in near end
yes.
of days yes, and times. Yes. You know,
yeah,
what
we
I mean?
Are within Babylon.
And you know, we've brought our kids into a world that's very cruel, unforgiving, very depraved.
Yes.
What conversations are you going to have with your baba?
I'm going to tell her the truth that a little black girl is the most underprotected and over-sexualized person in the world.
And invisible at the same time.
And invisible at the same time, 100%. Mm. So I remember when I grew boobs, I must have been 12 or 13,
sure.
I was instantly sexualized and I was a child. Mm. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm going to be honest with her and be like, this is what happens. Boys, when they reach this age, they grow a predatory thing, like a hunting thing. Mm. And they're going to want to hunt you. And a lot of the time, it's a trophy. And I don't care how much he tells you he loves you. Mm. He might. But if he loves you, he'll wait.
Absolutely.
And if you love yourself enough, too, you'll wait. I'm not saying wait as long as mom did. Mm. But you should. Mm. You should. Sex is amazing. Mm. Between people who love each other and between people who, like... Sex is amazing.
Tell us more.
So,
you just reminded me of an incident with my daughter. I mean, I think she was 13, 14 at the time.
Yeah.
And obviously puberty has hit in.
Yeah.
And we were at a builder's warehouse.
Mm.
And some dude came and asked her for her phone number. And she was freaked the fuck out because she doesn't understand that I'm a child. Yeah. Why do you want my number?
Yeah.
I'm a child.
What do you mean, sir?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember it was because she's a child and she looks like a child.
100%.
Yeah, she has boobies, but she looks like a child.
Yes. So it's a creepy world.
So I can imagine how freaked out you would have been.
I was freaked out. Yes, I was freaked out. And it obviously started happening in Alex.
Mm.
You know, and that's probably where my fighting spirit came from, where I was answering back to catcallers.
Sure.
I was saying to one of your assistants earlier who came to fetch me from outside, I was like, oh my God, this dress decided not to fit me today. I don't know if my ass got fatter, but thank the Lord, because, you know, fat asses are closer to God. But... So my one button here at the bottom, I'm afraid of doing it because
it's gonna pop.
It might pop, you know? Mm. So I'm walking and I have my bag over here.
Mm.
And some creep, obviously, we are labeling him as a creep. He's like,
Oh, wow.
Hello, Sisi. Unjani, Dali. In my head, I'm like, I know for a fact you have a wife at home. Mm. I know for a fact I'm not that much younger or older than your oldest kid. Like, okay, and then what happens when I say hi back? What do we do now? Do you ask for my number? What happens if I give it to you, sir?
And then what?
You know? So I think my fighting spirit came from... And I swore at him. That's your assistant.
So Alex came out.
Alex came out. Yeah. So the your assistant was at the door and he literally arrived at me going, Futsak! You know? I was like, Futsak! And it's not necessary. Like, I don't like to vibrate at that frequency. Sure, I don't like to attract stuff like that. I don't like to be in stuff like that. But... Get a flashback, man. You're 12, you're running down the street, you know, you're trying to go look for your friends, you're trying to play, man.
You're a child.
And some guy he's already given you a pet name. He doesn't even know your name. He's already given you a pet name, sweetie. Munjani, sweetie.
Already you're fair game.
Already I'm fair game. So after a little bit, I realized, no one's protecting me. No one is saying to these guys, hey, stop it, she's 12.
Sure.
Because then there was that disgusting thing where people started saying after 12 is lunch.
Sure.
And I want to find the person who came up with that shit and ask him if he's got sisters or if he's got daughters.
Who are 12.
Who are 12. You know? And so It's yucky.
It's going to be a long conversation.
It's going to be a long conversation with Zuri. We might have to do it over the course of the weekend.
Yes.
Like the first part on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Mm. Just for her to go sleep on some things and come back with questions.
Why did you go with the Swahili name for Zuri?
I wanted something...
Beautiful.
African and beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it does mean beautiful. Nice one. I see what you did there. I wanted something like ancient, sure. like old African language. Mm,
like where we're from.
Where we're from. Yes. You know, it is one of our oldest languages. Yes. It's not the oldest, but it is one of our oldest. And I wanted something that... You know, because I travel a lot and you realize you're more African once you leave the continent.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm trying to say, right? You know what I'm talking about. Because when we're here, we all see each other. It's like, oh, we're in Africa. It's okay. But once you get to Italy, they're like, where are you from? And you're like, South Africa. They're like, oh, what? And you're like, yes. And then you almost live it out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You go, my name is Samkelo Ndlovu. And they go... Bella. But over here, when you're speaking to Kyle, you're like, it's Samkelo.
Samkeli.
Samkelo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I wanted that.
She must be a queen before she's even one.
I like you.
Okay.
You're a faves.
Tell her Uncle Fresh.
I will.
Will DJ at all her milestones.
I will. It would be so funny if you actually did.
No, let's do it.
Did you see Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
The
at the Suns frat party.
At the Suns frat party?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That was dope.
It was.
So then you decide, I want to be an actor.
I think acting chose me.
Okay,
but
so acting was like, we've seen her in Alex telling people where to fuck off. We need her on stage. So acting was like, whoa. When did the bug reach a point of this can only be a career and nothing else? Because a lot of these things we do in high school.
Yeah.
But it's just a sketch.
Yeah.
Or watala.
Yeah.
For instance... a couple of years ago, I was playing at an under-18s party. And a friend of mine from boarding school was dropping off his under-18 child at this party.
That's so cool.
That I was DJing at. And I remember he comes up to me and he's like, you know, when my daughter said she wants to come to this party, you're DJing there. She was very excited. And she was excited because she knows we went to school together.
Yeah.
And, you know, what blew his mind is the fact that they thought, I was just kidding. It's just a passing phase. Oh. And I was like, guys, I was serious about this when I was 13.
Yes.
So for me, it was not a hobby.
Joke, yeah.
It wasn't a joke. It was
a side hustle.
It was, I love this so much. I want to do it for the rest of my life. So he was just blown away by the fact that I made him dance when he was his daughter's age. And now she is
dancing.
My fan.
Yes.
And coming to gigs I'm doing. You know what I mean?
That is so full circle.
So for you, when was that moment where you were like, this is all I want to do?
That's a good question because it's all been so mushed up. I've always been a storyteller.
Sure.
I don't know if you know a game called Maskitlan.
Tell us about it.
It's that game you play in the hood with stones.
Sure.
And you draw little houses.
Okay.
And you put... the stones in different houses, and the stones are people, and they have characters, and they interact.
Okay.
And you're just like, go, 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 go. Utengs hado. That game.
Sure.
Kids used to wait for me to come, like, to my grand's house on a Friday. They'd wait on my grand's stoop.
Okay.
To be like, Samu, kia matapa.
Let's play.
Wanting stories from me. And I thought nothing of it in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then... I saw Sarafina for the first time.
Sure.
So for all my life, I'm seeing Brooke Logan and Taylor and all these white women who aren't even in South Africa who are doing this acting thing. And I'm just like...
You can't relate.
Okay. Sarafina comes out.
Sure.
And I'm like, no ways. Black kids? And they're in the township? No ways. I want to do this.
Wearing a gym dress.
Right?
I can relate.
Right? No, I couldn't. I went to private
school. Oh, sorry. You went to private school. My bad.
I don't know that
gym dress. The gym dress.
Or tunic. And it wasn't blue. It was teal.
Excuse us. And a blazer.
And a blazer, sir.
With colors, full colors.
Yeah, I did have half colors.
Half colors.
Yes.
Okay.
Reward twice. And then I was like, okay, so this is a thing. This is a thing. And a friend of mine who I grew up with, who's actually also an actress today, Unom Sabutelezi.
Sure.
You know her, man, on lockdown. She played Slender with the invisible baby.
Oh yes.
And
yes.
She had the eyes, she had the half face twitch. Killed it. She was also on My Perfect Wedding.
In fact, her character was actually borderline disturbing.
Yes.
Especially the way she killed it.
Yes, I remember calling her being like, Mngani.
Yeah. Were you acting?
Are you okay? Are you okay, Ramaphosa? You know? And she's also quite a, you know, and what's crazy is that she's actually a comedic actress. Sure. I know her as a comedic actress. Anyway, so Nomsa used to be our director and we would put on plays. And kids from everywhere in Alex would pay 50 cents to come watch it.
Oh, wow.
And we would memorize lines and we would do all that stuff. And it still didn't click to me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be a singer. And I went to school. I went to primary school, only did sports. And, you know, the cultural stuff in these predominantly white schools, especially Jewish schools, I went to a Jewish school, aren't so culturally relevant to me. Like, they want to do Greece.
Sure.
And obviously, you're not going to cast me as the lead.
Absolutely.
And even if you're doing Alice in Wonderland, you're going to cast me as Tin Woman.
In fact, if they cast you in Greece, you'll probably be working in the canteen, dishing food out.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, it was never there at school. And then in high school, there was a thing called major production.
You were at Sandringham High, right?
I was at Sandringham High, yes. Years after Trevor left.
Sure.
Yes.
Name drop.
So, yeah. There was major production. Miss Joffy would never cast me. In fact, she would constantly tell me, Ndlovu, stick to swimming.
Because
I swam for the school and I ran for the school as well. And she'd be like, Ndlovu, stick to swimming. And I think it was a good thing because if I had left high school knowing I could act and knowing that people said you're so good, I don't think I would have worked so hard to hone it.
Oh, yes.
Then I went to film school. My mom was not surprised. Went to AFDA, studied directing and writing because in my head, I was going to be a famous singer and a director.
Ah, yes.
I thought that was the storytelling side of me. And before I could finish college, Trevor himself cast me in his movie with Kagiso Lediga and Anelim Daughter. And that was the first time I got a taste.
Daka
Daka. Daka. Yeah. It's I don't know. Like, I won awards for it overseas, but I've never seen it. And I don't think South Africa's seen it either.
Well, what do you mean you've never seen it?
I've never seen it. And I know Anele has it. Anelim Daughter has it.
Yeah.
She told me at Jameli the other day, she's like, I have a copy. I have the final cut. And I said, I'm coming to your house. What is this? I've never seen it. I've won awards for it. Anyway, so as soon as that movie came on, we should actually thank Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
As soon as I was in front of... He saw you.
Yeah.
As soon as I was in front of that camera, the bug bit me.
It was game over.
And I got an agent. And I've been acting ever since. And I love it. And I'd probably go crazy without doing it.
And now you have two series literally dropping now in December.
Yes.
Tell us about your
one
character.
One in December, one in January. Yes.
Okay. Tell us about your character in Reka.
Reka, I play a God-fearing, strict police detective who fights for justice, fights for what's right. Incredible instinct, incredible foresight too, and wants nothing to do with something morally wrong.
She wouldn't take a bribe even.
She's the girl who actually be like, oh, you're trying to bribe me?
Okay,
let's go.
Yeah. And is she Afrikaans? Is she black?
No, she's not Afrikaans. And what's crazy is that a lot of people think that Reka is an Afrikaans show. And I think it's because it's named after a mixed race girl who was given an Afrikaans name.
Yes.
But it's not. Skhuluma isiZulu lapha, and we're speaking English. I don't think there's anyone even speaking Afrikaans. Reka speaks English the whole time.
But there's a dope cast, though.
Oh, there's a dope cast. It's Kim Engelbrecht.
Yeah.
You guys must remember on Isidingo, she played Lolly.
And then she went international.
Yes, she did.
And then we lost her to the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gerald Stain, Siloma Gekanube. I never got to play with him though. Iron Glenn.
Wow.
Big name. I think he's an Academy Award winner. He's a guy from Game of Thrones and Tomb Raider and a few others, a lot of other stuff actually. Nokthula Ledwaba, she played CD on Rhythm City and also, I can't remember her name on The River, but she killed that character too. Yeah, it's a beautiful cast. Serena Cullen, who produced it, is also so amazing. She was on set the whole time and she was so encouraging to me.
Now, you've been out of the game for 2 years.
Yes.
A Reika comes along.
Yes.
Do you have to do a, do you have to go in an audition? Do you send in a self-tape? Or do they say, we want some ghetto?
You know, with the Reika thing, it actually happened by chance. I happened to be in the area.
Okay.
Where they were doing the castings. And apparently they had been looking for Ayanda, who's my character, for a long time. And he saw me and the one of the casting directors and I was trying to greet and pass by and he went, Samgelo.
Yeah.
Samgelo.
It's like when you've forgotten song lyrics and then they come to you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Also because my agent had sent a brief out to say she's not available for the next year.
Okay.
Because she wouldn't accept two.
Ah.
Yeah, and I was like, and then when the first year ended, I said, I still need more time. She said, Samu, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, no one's going to forget me. It's fine. And they put me on tape because things don't work like they used to before.
Sure.
Before, somebody could just headhunt you and then they send you a contract and you have the job.
Oh, yeah, now channel want
to
see you.
Yeah, now they have to put you on tape. Client needs to see you.
Chemistry test. Chemistry read.
You know what I mean?
DNA sample. Jeez, it's become a lot of work.
I don't know about that.
It's coming.
I don't know. It better not. I'm going to switch to your profession. Teach me how to DJ, okay?
At the rate things are going, everyone's going to be
a
DJ.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Is there something you're not telling us, Fresh?
Yes, that majority of them will fall off eventually. So the game will always purify itself.
Sana, and that's all?
And likewise with your industry, where some people are just fly-by-nights. They come in because they might have a million followers on Instagram.
Hey, but Jerry said it.
But eventually, it's like Mother Earth. When she decides that she's going to cleanse herself with
beautiful
a young
analogy.
You know what I mean? So industries also do that.
Yes.
Where people are just, they're spat out.
Yes.
Just slowly, slowly, slowly.
I ain't one of those though.
So it'll remain pure. Tell us about Minky. Who's Minky? Because Minky is going to break the internet.
Oh my God. I'm exhausted just thinking about. Minky is the quintessential Kasi girl.
Okay.
Bari kebanyana bao ema defense ka di gown.
With a towel and calamine lotion.
Yeah, she's screaming at the person walking past. Ontlale magwenya. She's that girl.
Okay.
She's loud. She's vulgar. She's toxic and jealous.
Okay.
She believes in violence.
Okay.
Physical violence. She's I would say she's selfish, but on the flip side, she's actually so loving and caring. She's just so loving and caring and nurturing. Just don't fuck with her.
Often those people, given a chance, will love you and care for you.
Yes, a lot.
And
they might smother you.
And often those very same people actually also just need a bit of TLC.
100%.
Just give them TLC and they'll reciprocate 100-fold.
I like to call her a girl interrupted.
Yes.
She's very much interrupted by her environment. I believe that if Minky had ever left her environment
and gone to Sandringham High or something.
No shade, Sandringham, okay?
So Minky is the character you play in Adulting Season 2.
Correct.
And because it's in Adulting, obviously there'll be a lot of adult content in there.
Yes, Fred.
How difficult is it deciding that, okay, I'll do this?
And
you have people that you consult before you take such big roles or roles that might...
It's my body. Who am I going to consult?
maybe there's someone you talk to. Maybe you talk to the church elder. Maybe you have a friend you bounce off. Maybe your agent will say, do you really want your bum showing on camera right now?
Yeah, I do want you to see my bum, though.
Okay. I will see your bum.
Kidding. Kidding. You won't see my bum. But, oh, actually, you will.
No, no, we will see your bum.
Yeah, you will. Fuck. I didn't have to consult anyone. Mm. It took me about 2 or 3 days.
So you thought about it?
Of course.
Okay.
No, more than anything, it wasn't even that I took the time out to think about. I was thinking of the archetype herself.
Mm.
Sometimes when you get a role, you instantly fall in love with it off the page.
Mm.
And you already have ideas of how you're going to play it out.
Sure.
You already have ideas of how you're going to translate her out.
Mm-hmm.
And with Minky, it was quite difficult because she's such a complicated little person.
Mm.
She's 24. I'm 33. Mm.
You still look 20, so don't
thank
stress.
Thank you. Mm. I had a lot of choices to make before. Because, I mean, when I got it, I was like, they want me to play this?
Mm.
This is the girl they want me to play?
Because
I saw other briefs.
Mm.
And I was like, don't they want me to play this girl, this classy girl who's, like, drinking champagne? And they were like, no, this is the girl we want you to play. And she scares me. I don't want to lie. Like, so with Minky, I chew a lot of gum. I don't want to give too much away. I chew a lot of gum. And there was a point during shoot where I couldn't chew gum offset.
Mm.
I have a friend who understands this stuff, this thespian stuff,
sure.
And knows that, like, sometimes characters will follow you home.
Mm.
And there was the one time we were in a club and I was chewing gum and he said, yeah.
You're chewing like me.
Bring. Yeah, he said, bring.
Because so basically, you're not chewing, no, your water.
Yeah, he looked at me and I was like,
yeah.
And he was like, bring. And he was like, out. And I literally went like on his hand.
Mm.
And he was like, hi, welcome back, Samu.
Yeah.
So she scares me quite a lot, not because of anything other than the fact that I'm like, will I do her justice?
Mm.
Because she's a girl we've all met.
Sure.
She's a girl we all know from Ekas.
Mm.
That's why I say she's quintessential. She's the exact girl.
And then the sex part. But because of that, does it make it easier or more difficult to play Minky?
More difficult.
Okay.
Mm. It was a beautiful set, beautiful production, professional black people. It's amazing to be around everybody who's just like here to work and take their work as seriously as you do.
It's nice to work for black people with budget.
110%. If you can afford me, call me. The set was amazing.
Yeah.
Being there was a beautiful artistic process for me. The actors as well, quite professional. My co-star, my main co-star is Untantla Gunene, who's also new.
Mm.
But he reminds me of myself when I was just starting out, that hunger, that preparedness, you know, that professionalism. Maraye. Only now, after I played her, I'm like, that was fun.
Sure.
But while I was doing it, it was wild because I had a language
coach?
Yes. Mm. Not exactly coach. I can speak a lot of languages, but I had to colloquialize it to right now.
Yes.
I couldn't speak Stotsi Selesa Joji Zamdela.
Okay.
I had to speak the things that kids are speaking now. She's 24, you know what I mean? And then Lispitori. So we would spend like an hour or two each night.
Just fixing the language.
Fixing the lines. Mm. And we might need a glossary of terms.
It might as well.
Just to be like, guys, this is what Minky is talking about. When she says this, she means this. When she says this, she means this.
Sure. But you know that obviously, especially after seeing Katie where doing sex scenes.
You mean Bawinile?
Bawinile.
Nsaba.
Katie where.
Oh my God.
And for
you
me.
You so wild
it,
for that.
And for me, it was actually very uncomfortable.
Really?
Because in my mind, she's always been Katie where. So
and you want
to
respect her. So, you don't want to see her in that way.
So to see her
been given head from a guy who's upside down.
From a guy who's wearing like a bodysuit. Like,
I don't want to think of that image.
And I was like, Katie Way has sex? So that's the first thing that came to mind. You know what I mean?
Is it the same with me? it can't be because we've been to strip clubs together.
So, well, not that it proves anything.
I mean,
you could have gone to a strip club and you're celibate for 30 years.
Yeah, but why was I having so much fun?
Because that was your outlet.
I see.
Exactly.
Smart. I should hire you as my spin doctor.
I'm ready for you. Anyway, so there's a saying that, especially with intimate scenes, that the minute you feel anything, then you've broken character. Is that true? That if you're in character, you'll never feel the scene as some girl.
No, that's impossible. Because that then you're pretending. You're not. Yeah. I believe acting is behaving truthfully under made-up circumstances.
Okay.
So
after a scene like that, tell us more. Because that's what you're saying then.
I walked straight into this one. Yes. So now, before when I started, there were none of these things called intimacy coaches.
Oh, yes. You left it to chance.
Yeah, we would.
And you hoped you'd be respected.
Yeah, and if your co-star grabs your butt, it's you who has to tell him afterwards, sure. But please don't do that.
Exactly.
If you're even like strong-willed enough. Some girls kind of like, they're just like, oh, fuck. Am I going to do it in front of all these men who are cameras and thingies? What am I going to do? Now there's intimacy coaches who come and regulate these things.
Ah, yes.
They come and they...
It's choreographed. Yes.
And we wear things called T-strings. Mm. So even though we look like we're humping and he looks like he's pumping the shit out of me, he's wearing a sock thing with a thong thing that's pulling it that way. And I'm also wearing some other thing. And there's a deflated Pilates ball between us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so what is he going to feel unless he has a thing for Pilates balls?
So basically he's humping a Pilates ball.
100%.
Jeez.
And it's the thing that helps us kind of bounce off and make it look like Netflix and chill. Mm. Yeah.
Kandele jabolo.
I know, because at the end, like, when people ask me, so are you guys really having sex? I'm like, yeah, vele ngipon star manje.
I'm like, what the fuck?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
So these things are choreographed. I did, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
When I got home that night, and I think it was like my 10th day being Minky.
Sure.
I had already not settled into the performance choices I made already. So I hadn't really looked back to go, yo.
What have I...
Yes, this girl is a fire. She's a lot. I went home the one day, on that day, after the intimacy scenes, after shooting with Ntlandla, who was so professional. He never ever...
Made you feel uncomfortable.
No. And these intimacy coaches are really, really good, hey. We are able to identify each other's green areas and red areas.
Okay.
So I can't touch Ntlandla where he says it's red.
Sure.
He can't touch me where I say it's red. And there's a rider. She'll be like, okay, boobs, yes? Sure, you can see boobs. Ass, yes. Your back, yes. Your thighs, yes. Doggy, yes. Blah, blah, blah.
So the doggy ki practice ball. Yeah.
And it's funny because it kept falling.
Imagine Sporty watches like,
It keeps falling. Yeah, it kept falling. So then in the one take, we were just like, yo, because if we have to keep doing this again because this ball falls, I said to Ntlandla, if Iyawa, just carry on. We need this take. We need to like finish though.
I'm sure Ntlandla is like, maybe I should drop the ball.
I know, I would.
Hey, man,
I was just like, dog, we need to finish this because it's a closed set.
Sure.
It's not uncomfortable, but we want to finish.
Exactly.
Like, we can't keep doing this take because of this damn ball. So if it falls, and Ntlandla, just carry on. And he looked at me and he said, are you sure? And I said, yes. And it fell.
Yeah.
As we predicted. And he just carried on. I felt nothing because that T-string has like a thick sponge. So it's like a G-string with no hands.
Okay.
Or handles.
Sure.
And then he's wearing the same thing. There's this sock thing that, you know, like your tracksuit pants, how you pull them. So he pulls the thing and then it goes backwards. It's like when it's like trans guys tuck.
Yes.
Trans women, sorry.
Yeah.
Trans women tuck. And then on top of that, there's still that spongy thing.
Sure.
So as Philly next. To tell you the truth, as is one next, if anybody feels anything, how are you even thinking of anything else? This thing is choreographed. And you have to look.
There's a camera here.
And you have to look like you're enjoying it.
Sure.
You still have to look like you're enjoying it.
It's work. Yo. Give me a fighting scene anytime, rather.
I did so many of those on Reika. Running, shooting. I even went to the gun range before to like practice.
That was actually my next question and my last question.
Yeah.
Which character would you say throughout your career has given you the most life skills that you as Samgelo can now walk away and say, this is what I've learned from this character?
Wow. I'll say Lerato, the girl that I played on Rhythm City.
Yes.
Just her trajectory from how she came in. She came in as a sexy siren.
Sure.
Left the show as the show's villain.
Sure.
Going against the big dogs, the David Gennaros, rest in peace, Jamie. But that girl taught me, even though she was a lying, cheating, manipulating bitch, a killer, she taught me about leverage.
Sure.
She taught me about leverage and how to not always show your cards. To always put your cards on the table.
Let them underestimate you.
Rather let them underestimate you and be the one who laughs last.
Absolutely.
So she taught me that. And as an adult, it comes in very handy. Because there's some shaky people
rough,
out there. It's edgy.
We are about to see you on our screens for probably the next 3 months now.
Yeah.
Are you working on anything else already?
I am, but I'm not allowed to talk
March
about it yet.
So that we can continue watching.
I'm not allowed to talk about it yet. I'm still under NDA.
What kind of character is it, roughly?
It's also different to these two.
So you're pushing yourself, you're stretching yourself.
I am, and the conversation has to be ranged.
And that's what we love to see.
Yeah.
The fact that you're not typecast, you're not always this demure, someone save me kind of woman.
No, and you know, I like those characters. I'm just always drawn to characters, or rather stories and characters about people who are looking inward.
Sure.
I'm always drawn to that. Show me that character, and I will find a way to translate her.
Where do we find you on social media, Samgelo?
You can find me on Instagram at Samgelo Ndlovu. There's a blue tick. You can find me on TikTok, official Samgelo Ndlovu. There's a blue tick. And then on Facebook, it's Samgelo Samurai Ndlovu. That's my page because my profile is full or something like that. I don't know. But my profile is just Samgelo Ndlovu. And then the page is there. There's a blue tick there. So in case you find other Samgelo Ndlovus, look for the blue tick. And then I'm not on Twitter because child. And then I'm on Threads. I think it's the same handle, at Samgelo Ndlovu, because
it's linked to your IG.
It is Samgelo Ndlovu,
sure.
Yeah. So that's it. And not Samgelo Ndlovu, Samgelo, Samkelo, Ndlovu.
Samu, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you, Tato.
You are incredible. You are a samurai, you're a warrior. You've stood the test of the time that you've done already. I think you've been memorable all the time. You've always made sure you hit the ball out the park, and may you continue to do that.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to every single character that you're going to play.
Yes.
Because we know it won't be the same as the previous one.
No, it won't.
And that's what I appreciate.
I make sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for speaking so much life into me.
Reika and Adulting 2 is where you can find this incredible thespian. And there's a third one she's working on, but she can't tell us much about
it
yet. But we will tell you about it as soon as the Henda expires. As many know, I love hanging out with people, helping them get along, have a good time. That's why I'm really liking that Stella Artois are doing. They've got this brand new show called the Stella Artois Festive Get Together. Last week featured the Ranaka sisters. This week features Nomzamo and Wendy Mbata, whom we had on the show last week, and a nostalgic Seven Colors brunch served by Chef Zanele. Check it out on DSTV channel 161 on Mzansi Magic. The Life Artois, all about getting people into a room to have a good time. And we're done. So many people recently observed the International Day of Solidarity with Palestine, an event which has taken on a darker significance in recent weeks. If you observe it, some say it makes you anti-Semitic. If you oppose it, others will say it makes you an anti-Muslim, or that you condone the killing of thousands of children. Your choice should be to learn more about both or all sides of conflict so that you can decide and make up your own mind without being guilt-tripped or bullied. It is in that spirit of open-mindedness and balance and learning that we wish you all a wow week ahead. Live from AMP Studios, we're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Shout out Pezulu Works for the cinematography, our audio imaging specialist, Autista Flo Fraser, and our guest today, Morgan Beatbox, an actress, mother, thespian, incredible woman, Samke Lonjovu, creative producer Kuvesh Mohan, and show producer Keletso Mudisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have a great week in spite of yourselves, and we'll see you on O-Ship this weekend.